Welcome to episode Nintendo 64.
Incoming message from BDW64.
Oh, okay, that's better. That's better. That's better. Okay. I mean, that's both a N64 game reference and a clever twist on that message. So,
yep.
There you go. Indeed. Nicely done, Sherlock. Nicely done. Meanwhile, I have a Bob.
Oh, Bob.
I had a Bob just now. He ran away. Anyway, welcome to episode 64 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. And, ladies and gentlemen, business is picking up.
Indeed.
In a big way. For the first time on the podcast, I get to talk a little bit about the PlayStation 5!
Oh my god,
well,
yeah.
Let's be clear on that. We've been talking about the PlayStation 5 for a long time. However, I suddenly have a different perspective.
Yep.
As I am in the PlayStation 5 review program. Also, Anna has a ball. That's what you're hearing. Alright, so, it's going to be a pretty standard episode. Gaming news, accessibility. I was almost going to single segment this episode. Because this morning, I was thinking about it. I was like, nothing for accessibility news. Nothing. Fortunately, I got something this morning.
Yay!
Thank goodness for last minute news.
Yep.
But I'm also excited to tell you guys that today will contain exclusive details about my PS5 impressions that were not in the blog I published for the specific reason that I want to entice people to listen to the podcast. So there you go. There is a little bit more I could talk about, and we'll talk about that on the show today. For now, let's end the intro and get right into gaming news. Welcome to
Gaming News.
All right. On this episode of Gaming News, we're going to start out with the hardware breakdown. And I'm talking about the hardware breakdown based on my impressions of the hardware of the PlayStation 5.
Indeed.
PlayStation 4. Okay. All right. So I can talk at length now about the hardware itself, including the peripherals of the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sherlock, as I do this, feel free to throw in, like, if you got any, like, questions or something, like, you know, do it. Because as long as it's hardware-related, I can answer it.
Yep. All right.
Okay, so the PS5 is large. I don't know if you know. I mean, we've been over this.
Yeah, apparently it's the largest gaming console ever made at this point.
Yeah, it's large. It's large. I said in the article that I wrote, Bob.
Oh, hey, Bob.
Hello.
That's an angry Bob.
I think he's mad because Anna's annoying him. I said in the article I wrote about the hardware, my hardware review, basically, that I think, based on memory, because we don't have it anymore. So based on my own personal memory, I think it is slightly larger than the original PS3. That's where I place it in, as far as that goes.
Okay.
It is very curved as well. So like the whole design of the PS5 is curved. The sides are curved. Even the top is curved. It's curved, kind of, how to describe this? So, like, if you go front to back, it's curved, convexly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is also further curved on the right-hand side. It curves from, it's like a slope. If you go from the bottom left to the bottom right, it's like an upward slope. So it's double curved in a way. It's kind of, it's interesting design. But from what I understand, that whole design, the whole thing facilitates the cooling of the system.
Oh, jeez.
Whole thing facilitates that.
Wow.
And just checking right now, I'm actually doing this live, checking right now the PS5. Here's how good the cooling system is on the PS5. I have it in rest mode because I'm not, you know, it's not on right now. But it is currently blowing out cool air out of its exhaust fan.
Oh, wow.
It's like, it's just cool air. It's like, wow. Like it shouldn't, I don't even know if it should be this cool. Like, it's like, it's cooler, it's slightly cooler than room temperature. It's blowing out cool air because it's cooling the system so well.
They want to make darn sure that that thing doesn't overheat.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, it's even when it's on, I mean, sure, it warms up a bit when it's on. Obviously, it's not doing much right now. It's in rest mode. But even when it's like playing games, it does not get really hot.
Nice.
It gets, I would say, warm, but I would not say hot.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about
The old 360s. Oh, those would get hot.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the ports. So, on the back of your PS5, from left to right on the back, you have power port, HDMI port, and Ethernet port. Next to those two, you have two, standard USB ports. They're USB-A, you know, typical ports.
Yep.
But they can support USB-A to C because the controller is USB-C connected, so it has to support that.
Yeah.
So going around to the, you have the side panels then, of course, the infamous side panels of infamousness. Yep. And then going around to the front, you have starting from the left, on the very front left, you have the power button and the eject button next to that. Below those buttons, I got confused by this at first because there is the front of the PS5 is kind of grooved. So you have in one groove all the ports that are in the front. And then below the groove, there's a separation, and that's where the actual disk drive is. If you have the disk edition, of course. Obviously, that won't be there if you have the non-disc edition.
Yeah.
So there's a groove that contains everything, and it's one of those things where when you first feel it as a blind person, you expect the disc drive to be part of this groove here, but it's not. It's below it, so it's like it's near the bottom of the whole system. So it's like, okay. Geez. So the disc, I think the disc like slides in, and I actually haven't played any disc games at all. So I actually don't know this for sure, but it seems like the way it's built, because of the way the system curves, it seems like it kind of slides in and goes up.
Oh, weird.
Up into the beastly unit, which actually kind of makes sense, because one of the things they talked about the last time Sony talked about hardware was they talked about wanting the sounds of the disk drive to also be kind of muted.
Mm.
So it would not
be. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it probably does slide in the bowels of the beast there. So there you go.
That's crazy.
So next to the power and eject button, you then have your USB-C port. So you can actually go USB-C to USB-C from the PS5, or I guess USB-C to A, depending on what you're connecting to it. So you actually have a pure USB-C port. And then one final standard USB port. So three total standard USB ports and a USB-C port as well.
Nice.
It is actually more than I think the PS4 Pro had just two USB ports. So there you go.
There you go.
Let's see. Let's talk about the controller.
Hey.
I think that covers hardware pretty well because there's no more ports than that's. Oh, and the stand too. The stand is actually the base is round, which I guess I don't know for some reason I was expecting like a squarish thing, but no, it's round and it's actually not very. Sorry, go ahead.
That's kind of what I would have expected too.
Yeah, but no, it's round and it's actually kind of small. It is something that is not as big or wide as the unit itself, and it clips onto the middle of the back of the PS5.
Huh.
So it's actually fairly small, but the point of it is, I guess, is the bottom of it is very rubberized. So it's round and flat, and the bottom is very rubberized so as to keep it in place. So it still is, it might not be large, but it's large enough to negate the fact that the PS5 itself is curved.
Yeah.
And I will say, to be 100% clear, guys, you absolutely need the stand. Like, there's a reason it is packaged in with a PS5. I just wanted to, I was holding it the whole time, but I did want to see what would happen. So I lifted the PS5 up and set it down without the stand. And I could get it to stay maybe for a while. But you know what I mean? Like,
it's just not balanced.
Even the bottom of the PS5 is also curved, so it's highly not advisable.
Yeah.
To stay to use it without the stand. Highly. I would never ever risk it.
What a weird looking design. Like,
yeah.
Sounds odd.
Yeah, like even like the part that has the disc drive is actually more curved outward than the rest of the PS. Oh no, it curves. Okay, wow, it curves again. So the bottom right of the PS5 has the same down the same slope as the upper right. Like I told you, the slopes up from left to right. The bottom does that too in the exact opposite direction.
Huh.
It slopes downward from the bottom.
Huh, interesting.
It's very interesting, but yeah, I guess it's all about cooling. They said the whole thing was locked in 2 years ago, and it's all about cooling.
Wow, that's crazy.
But let's talk about...
I guess those processors just run super hot normally, so they had to make sure that cooled it as much as humanly possible. So
yeah, the processor, the solid state drive too.
Yeah,
being as fast as it is, you know, it does certainly have a footprint on the heat of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's talk about the. Actually, let's actually switch gears. Let's talk about the headset. So I want to talk about the Pulse 3D wireless headset. So the Pulse 3D wireless headset is the wireless solution to your headset needs for PS5, and I actually think it's a very good one. It's probably the best headset that I've yet seen from Sony, from PlayStation.
Nice.
The best part about it, and Sherlock, I know you know about this because we both have the same problem, I think, at the exact same time. You know how the side pieces on the Platinum headset can break?
Oh, yep.
You know the pieces that adjust that you can adjust the headband with?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a problem this time. And it is because the headband just adjusts itself as you put it on to accommodate your head. It just pulls itself up as needed to accommodate your head.
Good.
I can't tell because however it's connected, it's really small. So I literally, it's so like finely done that I can't tell how the headband is connected to the actual head piece that doesn't move.
Huh.
But it is somehow, and when you put it on, it just goes up until it doesn't need to anymore.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's great like that. The connection from PS5 to headset is as simple as ever before. I mean, it's literally the same thing as like with the Platinum. You literally plug in the dongle to one of the USB ports. You turn on the headset and it's connected. They're already paired together, you know. So
yeah,
simple. The controls are mostly familiar if you already have the Platinum or if you've used the Platinum headset before, so I was pretty much ready for it. It's got the same master volume control. It's got the same game versus chat balance control.
Nice. Good.
The power button is a switch this time, not a button, and it is on the bottom of the headset on the left. Every control is on the left, by the way. There's no controls on the right side.
Yeah.
So the power switch is on the bottom. The mic button, the mic mute button, this is one of my favorite parts. It's like, it's a small thing, but it's one of my favorite parts. Now it is a depressible button, which means if you mute the mic, the button presses inward and you know that it's muted tactily.
Good.
Yes. Yes. Good. It is quite good in that way. I actually think you can use it both ways, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to do more testing on that. I think you can use it as, you can have it so the mic is muted when it's pressed in, or that it's unmuted when it's pressed in and muted when it's pulled out. Oh, I think you can actually have it both ways. I'll have to double check that though.
Huh.
There is also the connection port for charging it is of course USB-C now, because everything on PS5 is USB-C now.
Good.
That's good. That is good because it means faster charging of the headset. So I like that a lot.
Yep.
The next to the USB-C port, which is also on the bottom of the left side of the headset, is a standard 3.5 millimeter jack, which in with this particular headset is super great, because if you run into a situation where you don't have battery power anymore, you can take that 3.5 millimeter jack and plug in a patch cable, patch it to your controller, and you're still going to get 3D audio.
Yep.
And because the controller has a built-in microphone, you can still chat to your friends.
Yay, good.
So this headset functions almost perfectly without battery power.
Yeah.
But the difference is, though, to keep in mind, the reason you want battery power more than you want no battery power, the difference is none of the controls on the headset will work.
Yeah.
If there's no battery power. So you can't balance the chat audio with the headset if you don't have battery power.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah. In the middle of all the controls, in the middle of between the master volume and the balance volume buttons, there is a control which appears to be the surround sound control, which the Platinum also has, and you can turn off, you know, on and off surround sound. I'm a little unsure right now. I'm going to do more testing, but I'm a little unsure right now why this exists.
Yeah.
Because the PS5 already does 3D audio, and I can confirm for you that 3D audio on the 3D Pulse wireless headset is done just fine.
Yeah, good.
It works. So I don't know why this is a thing, but I feel like there's probably a reason I'm just missing it. So, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. But essentially, that's the headset. It's very lightweight. It doesn't, you know, the dongle is very small. It's just a USB stick, basically. It's no bigger than a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Just like the old ones.
Just like the old ones.
And the thing is, some people are like, but it's cheaper. It must therefore be worse. But think about this. The reason it's cheaper is actually pretty simple. The reason the Platinum is so expensive is that the dongle for the Platinum is what processes the 3D audio. The PS4 can't process 3D audio on its own. It actually doesn't have the tech in it.
Right.
So the dongle for the Platinum headset is what processes the 3D audio.
Yeah.
For games that support it, whereas with this, the console does process 3D audio on its own. Therefore, the headset doesn't need to. So. There you go. That's why it's cheaper. That's why it's only $99 instead of $150 like the Platinum.
Yes.
In fact, the dongle for it is almost exactly like the gold headset dongle, which, of course, the gold headset was just a surround sound headset and didn't have 3D audio.
Yeah.
So they're almost the exact same shape and size and everything.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, that's the headset.
Cool.
Now, let's talk the controller. Let's talk the DualSense wireless controller. And this, folks... this is where the exclusive podcast info comes in.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to pick up my DualSense here. Well, one of them, because I got two. Pick up my DualSense. And I'm going to try to do the best I can to describe this thing. Mostly, it is your standard PlayStation controller. Especially if you're more akin to the PS4 era, you know? It's not wholly different from a DualShock 4, except it also is. So it's got a touchpad in the same exact spot. The controller speaker is in the same exact spot, but I do believe it is larger. I think it is larger than a DualShock 4, I think.
Okay.
The PlayStation button, the PS button, is below that, and I actually like it more than the original one, because I believe the PS button on the DualShock 4 had... It was a round button, but I believe it had the PlayStation logo just, you know, like drawn onto it. Like, it's just, you know, it's there visually, but for us, just a round button, you know?
Yeah.
This time, we actually have the shape of the PlayStation logo. You know, the button is shaped that way. So, you know, if you like the logo, you know, there you go. below the PS button now is a brand new button. It is the mic button, because the DualSense has a built-in microphone. Which is nice. It's pretty cool that you don't have to hook anything up to enjoy.
That is good.
Yeah, I like it. Again, the back of the controller, USB-C. Once again, it is a USB-C controller. To hold it is absolutely heavier than a DualShock. It is probably... Yeah,
I remember Cherry mentioned that, and she was a little disappointed by that because she has trouble with weight.
Weight
things. So
it definitely is heavier than DualShock. I would put it around maybe the same weight as maybe either the same or a little bit heavier. The Xbox Elite controller that I have as well. The first Elite controller. I haven't used the second Elite controller, so I can't compare those, but I would say maybe around the same or slightly heavier than the original Elite controller. Here's a fun fact: the L1 and R1 buttons are actually larger. Not larger may not be the right word, but they're like deeper almost. Like the buttons are bigger, but not from like a not for where your fingers go. But like there's more solidity to them underneath that.
Oh, so like when you press them the you get more action, kind of, you think?
Kind of. Like that's the sound of the L1 and R1 buttons. it's so the buttons themselves are curved inward towards the controller on the bottom of the button. So like there's more button there almost, but like your finger still goes in the same place. It still pretty much feels the same, but there's just kind of more button there. I don't know.
Huh.
The triggers are really nice in that they're really easy to pull when they're supposed to be easy to pull.
Yep.
Which I can now talk about.
Ah.
So L3 and R3, same concept. The thumbsticks are kind of the same ones as the, remember when they re-released the DualShock 4? Because the original DualShock 4 had terrible thumbstick coverings. Terrible.
I actually never felt the original ones.
Oh, you never felt the original?
I only used the original ones. That had awful. Like that had little indentations for your,
the thumbs.
Your thumbs.
Yeah, yeah. That it's the same deal with the DualSense. But the original DualShock 4, oh god, it was bad. The rubber broke on them all the time.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. But anyway. Let's talk about the exclusive podcast information that I can now provide.
Ooh.
I can talk about using the DualSense while specifically playing Astro's Playroom.
Ah.
I can talk about what that felt like. Which means I can talk about things like the haptic feedback and the adaptive triggers.
Yay.
And the controller speaker too, but it works. Like, what else is there to say?
Standard
it works,
controller speaker stuff from PS4. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. I would say maybe it's better than the PS4's controller speaker because, like I said, I do think it is slightly larger, but it's not new. You know?
Yeah.
It's still just the same thing. Some sounds come out of the speaker. It's nice.
Yep.
But I need to talk about the haptic feedback.
Ooh.
I need to talk about it. And I'm going to. Oh, by the way. Oh, I forgot one more thing. Oh my god, I'm sorry for stalling. I'm not stalling actually, but one more thing. The options and create buttons, not a share button anymore, it's create button. They are set slightly upward from their original positions on the PS4 controller. So if you're looking for them, just move up.
Yep.
And you'll find them. They're kind of they're not as close to the controller, if that makes any sense, as the originals were.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of pushed outward from it. And the D-pad, I said in the article that I feel like it has kind of a curve to it, and I still feel that way, but I think I know why. So the D-pad on the DualShock 4, each individual arrow kind of curves inward towards the controller, kind of downward, you know?
Yeah.
And the D-pad on the DualSense doesn't do that.
Huh.
So it's like everything, it just makes an X in the middle, and everything is just kind of level.
Huh.
There's a very slight curve, I guess, but it's not as noticeable as the DualShock 4. But the D-pad still works perfectly fine. I've played Mortal Kombat 11 on it. It works fine.
I still think my favorite D-pad is probably PS2 or PS3.
Yeah.
Those are amazing D-pads.
But this is absolutely a functional D-pad, though. You'll have no problem with this, I don't think.
Yeah.
It works very well. It's not like the original Xbox One.
Oh D-pads. God. And the 360.
And the 360, yeah.
Yes.
I broke those two.
Oh, the worst.
Okay. So now I need to talk about the haptic feedback. Because Stirlock, you know that I expressed concern about the haptic feedback.
Yeah.
Of the controller. You need to know that I am impressed by the haptic feedback of the DualSense.
Nice.
I am impressed. So, point number one, it seems to me, and I guess it's possible that this is an illusion that they're successfully creating, but if it's an illusion, then they're doing a great job of it. It seems to me that they can make the vibration happen at almost any point in the controller that they want to.
Oh, you mean like specific areas of the controller?
Yes.
What the heck?
Like, I'm talking about like left and right sides on the bottom and left and right side going from left to right on the back.
Whoa.
As well. Like going towards the triggers.
Hmm.
And the power that they can put into individual vibrations is quite impressive. So like one of the things that I doubted, they were like, you know how they were like, in some games with, I think it was Godfall that's going to do this. When you swing a sword and it impacts an enemy, you're going to feel the bounce back of that sword.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they claim.
I know they mentioned that. Yeah.
I did not believe that at the time, but I kind of do now, because the level of power that is like the maximum amount, at least the maximum that I've felt during my Astro's playroom time, is quite high. Like there's a, in fact, one of the first moments in Astro's playroom is one, you know, typical, you have to press X to start, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
But this time when you press X, the bottom of the controller on the right side where you just pressed X goes boom. And it's like, it's almost an actual bounce. Like it's like, oh, I can't even, it's very powerful.
Wow.
They almost immediately address one of my other concerns with haptic feedback too. One of the things that I've said about haptic feedback is that one of the biggest problems with it, you know, when you're trying to immerse a player in a game with haptic feedback, is that typically, even on consoles all the way up to the PS4, typically haptic feedback does not occur at the same exact time as the sound effects do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty close, but it's not exact enough to make us believe it.
Yeah.
I can honestly tell you that the DualSense does its haptic feedback at the literal exact moment of the sound effect.
Ooh, cool.
And the best example of that is Astro walking.
Huh.
When he walks, when you walk with him, you can tell which foot is hitting the ground because the haptic feedback hits you at that spot at the same time the sound plays.
So alternates between the left and right side?
Yep. It goes,
whoa.
You know, he walks pretty fast. He's a little robot, so it goes,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Alternating between left and right. And the sensation.
That's got to feel weird.
Yeah. And the sensation of the walk definitely does change with terrain.
Oh, wow.
It definitely does change. And they can do like really, really like, how do I describe this? What's the word? What's the like high frequency vibration? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So like if you're walking on metal, it'll feel like
it feels like the like there's more resistance there because it's metal.
Well, not necessarily resistance, but you know how metal like echoes when you walk on it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can feel like a little ting going through your hand.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yes.
I'm intrigued.
Right, right. Okay.
Makes me want to mess around with Astro's playroom, even if I can't really necessarily play it.
Right.
Have fun with it and just see what the heck
This is going to be in my official review, but Astro's playroom is absolutely a fantastic example of what the DualSense can do, and that's really what it's supposed to be.
Of it too, because like, yeah, I know you obviously can't talk about this, but
I can't talk about it.
There's some IGN released a 16-minute
gameplay clip. Cooling Springs.
And I like it. It's like
Yeah, it's
it definitely has like a, you know, old school ish platformer.
It absolutely has a charm to it. It absolutely has charm to it.
It's cool.
So the thing is, I could have technically have released the same gameplay of as long as it was that level specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
That said, the game isn't particularly playable. I'll be honest about it.
Not expect it to be. Yeah.
So that I can say because I couldn't release that level anyway. I would have if I could have, but I couldn't even get that far.
Right, right.
That said, I'm still not done yet.
It was cool that you were able to be able to get a sense of how the controller feedback worked with the game, though. Even from what little you could play. That's really
cool. But even with what little I could play, though, I'm still not done describing this. So there's a lot of really subtle vibrations that this controller is capable of.
Hmm.
And together they can make crazy things, crazy feelings go through your hands. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, let's see. So, like, one of them, I don't know exactly what's happening when, like, on screen when this happens, but one of them is like something is ratcheting upward. I think it's like the, you know, basically the Astrobots live in the PlayStation and they live in the controllers, basically. So how it works.
Yeah.
And I think they're like ratcheting up the controller or like moving the thumbstick on the controller, something like that. I don't know. They're ratcheting something up. And it literally feels like that's happening in your hand.
Whoa.
Like the matched to the sound effect, the vibration ratchets upward and upward and upward and upward. And that's what it feels like.
Oh, wow.
And it's really impressive. I told Misty, and I'll tell you too, I'll tell the listeners out there too. I can't wait. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm gonna say one more thing before I make that statement. I also got a little bit of the experience with the adaptive triggers.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Yes, the adaptive triggers. Now, here's what I expected from the adaptive triggers when I first heard about them. I expected it to be kind of a hard lock. Like if you had a moment where there's an adaptive trigger, you pull the trigger as much as you can, then you hit that hard lock moment, and then I expected it to kind of click past it after a while.
Yeah.
And then you're past it, you know. Which is I guess I kind of expected it to feel a little cheap. Like I didn't expect it to
feel kind of good. The thought that I had, like, I don't know, it's gonna feel not quite the way they're selling it as.
Yeah. So this is the part where I tell you that it absolutely does not feel cheap.
Oh, really?
It does not feel like a gimmick. There was a moment where I had something that sounded like a flamethrower. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what it was, Astro, but it sounded like a flamethrower to me in my little hand. I pull the trigger and I'm going to try to describe this. It actively halted me, but it didn't feel like a lock, like what I expected.
Yeah.
It felt like my pull with the pressure I was applying at the time slowed and then stopped really quickly, but basically slowed and stopped. And when I put more pressure on and pushed through that, then it felt like as if I was pressing a button that wasn't there.
Huh.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it felt like I was actually pulling the trigger, and only then when I pushed through that pressure did I actually get the response from the thing I was holding, which again sounds like a flamethrower.
That's actually, oh, I can't wait to feel what that's like.
Yeah, so now with all that,
I want to feel the ratchet and clank shotgun, right?
The shotgun thing. Yeah, yeah. I told Misty I can't wait to try any shooter.
Oh, I know.
Because imagine, and I'm actually not even the only person that said this.
Different weapons are going to have different results.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even the only one that said this after trying the DualSense. Multiple people said, "I can't wait to play a game with a gun." That is a PS5 game,
yeah,
or multiple guns, like Borderlands 3, something.
Yeah.
Actually, the example this person used, the other person that has said, basically said the same thing. The example they used was Destiny, but you know, same idea.
Oh, Well, especially with how many friggin' guns Destiny has. Holy crap.
Yeah, I know.
If they're and able every to, weapon. If they take the time to build resistance, trigger resistances into Destiny, holy crap.
Every weapon could have its own trigger profile and its own haptic feedback profile. And I don't know if I've quite gotten across to you how awesome the haptic feedback is.
Amazing. Holy shit.
It's really good. I saw someone say that they have a Nintendo Switch. Like someone commented on like someone's tweet or something, and they're like, "Oh, but the Switch already does this. Why does this matter?"
No, it doesn't. Not to
and
that level.
Someone responded. You know, someone in the review program also responded to that tweet and said, "I have a Switch. I play a Switch a lot. This is not the same thing."
No.
This is that turned up to like 30.
That's like HD Rumble on steroids.
Yeah, the things they can do here. Okay, here's the thing. I'm telling you about Astro's Playroom because that's all I can tell you about.
Sure.
There are other examples of HD Rumble that I can't talk about yet because they happen in different games.
Yeah.
That were so good. I'm gonna put it this way for now. Mostly, when we experience haptic feedback, though we will eventually learn, we don't usually immediately understand what's happening.
Oh.
Like it's a learned thing.
Yeah.
There is something that happened that I can't talk about yet, where HD, well, it's not even called HD Rumble, it's just the haptic feedback on the DualSense.
Right.
The haptic feedback on the DualSense told me everything I needed to know about something that happened.
Wow, interesting.
Where I fully understood what just happened to me because of
I know exactly what you're talking because about. Because of the feedback. Because, this is more for the sighted people, I guess. But as a blind person playing a game blind, you know, you'll get some haptic feedback. And if you're completely new to a game, you might not completely understand, okay, is this feedback from me firing a weapon or doing an attack? Or
right.
am I actually taking damage?
Or is it getting hit? Like, yeah.
Or something else, because sometimes they'll do, you know, like little feedback fluff, as it were. Like, you know, certain animations sometimes will have haptic feedback to them. So, okay, so that's interesting. So you knew exactly what was happening and whatever.
I knew. I can't tell you what it was that yet, though, because it was a different game. Yeah. But
you knew
that's coming.
But you knew what was going on because of the haptic feedback. You knew exactly what was happening.
I knew exactly what happened, and that is so rare.
Wow, cool.
To experience.
That's super.
This is really good stuff, folks. This is something that could be used to great effect. In games, and I can't wait to see how it's used. Even the triggers, stuff.
That'll give you more talking points in your like accessibility guideline talks with developers.
Yeah,
now you can incorporate.
It absolutely will. I will promote the heck out of this. This is almost like, I mean, we had vibration in controllers before, sure, but this is almost, this feels new.
Now that they
this
can is, pinpoint things,
they can do so much. They can pinpoint things. They can do different frequency vibrations that are like really high level stuff.
Wow. Oh, it's so cool.
I mean, it's amazing.
I can't wait to hear about
the other example. I know. It's coming. I can't do it.
I know. Embargoes are.
Oh, man. It's just really good. I would.
Those pesky embargoes.
Pesky embargoes. I know. Pesky freaking embargoes.
Can you talk about when the next one lifts or no? Is that a thing you can mention?
I can't say the date, but I'm going to say that I actually intended to say this anyway, so I'll say it now. I can't say the date, although certain people have been correct in their guesses about the date, but I'm technically not supposed to say the date. So like, I'm just not going to. I'm just going to say people have been correct. And I will also say, because this does not give specifics, but I will also say the next embargo is the one that you
Ooh.
Want.
Okay. Exciting.
It's the one
exciting
that you want.
Okay. All right.
That is all I'm going to say about right now.
Good stuff.
So, that's the DualSense, man. And it works. It works as advertised.
So basically what you're saying is that controller is everything that Sony was hyping it up to be.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Nice.
I can't, it's hard to even like explain how it, like, I can pull the triggers right now. It's
right.
There's the triggers. It sounds like I'm pressing L2 and R2, but it doesn't even give you a clue about what that actually feels like when you get the resistance. And like I said, it's not a click. It's just like it just kind of holds you, but doesn't like that's really what I thought. I thought it'd be literally something that snapped down to lock the trigger. And then if you applied enough pressure, it just maybe
that's what I pictured
gauging
too.
The pressure. And then it would be, but no, it doesn't. There's no click to it. It holds you. Oh, it stops you. And if you push through it, it feels like you're pressing something, even though there's no extra button there. It feels like there is suddenly. It's just,
that'd be interesting. With something like, was it Deadloop or was it another thing where they mentioned the gun jamming?
Deathloop. Yeah. I bet. So here's the thing. I really believe that if they want to, there's probably enough freedom in the resistance settings to actually lock the trigger. I believe they can.
My only concern with that is some dork, applying enough pressure.
No, I'm just going to keep pressing through the lock.
Straight up breaking the trigger. Like, don't do that. I could see somebody doing that.
Hopefully, I bet you're probably right, but I hope people are smart about it. I hope people realize, hey, the reason the trigger's not moving is because it's not supposed to move right now. But yeah, I think there's probably enough freedom because it's so crazy. When there's nothing happening, when there's no resistance being applied, the triggers are very, very, there's a lot of movement there. There's a lot of room there.
Right.
So, you know, like there's a lot of, when you press the trigger, there's a lot of press there. So
you have a lot of things you could do, different levels of.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibility. Absolutely a lot of possibility. You could have like increasing resistance. Like they talked about with the bow. Imagine what they talked about with Gran Turismo on PS5. Where the trigger is going to adjust itself based on like the torque, the current torque of the car, or something crazy like that. Like
that's insane to me that they could do that on the fly like that.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And I believe it all now. Everything that has ever been said about the DualSense, I believe every bit of it now. And the thing that Ratchet and Clank. I don't know why I even said. I promise you. I don't have Ratchet and Clank yet. I don't even know why I said it. I literally don't have it. Astro's Playroom is what I meant to say. So that was a good demonstration. But the thing I can't even tell you about yet is really the thing that made me go, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is it. But you'll see. You'll see in time. Okay. So the rest of the DualSense that I didn't mention yet is basically the same as the PS4 for DualShock, in that the front of it has the headphone jack right in the middle, right smack dab in the middle. And the rest of the front of it is actually little tiny holes, which are the dock. If you have the final accessory that I got, well, actually, I didn't talk about the camera because I haven't used the camera because I don't have any context in which
you
I
don't need
to use
it,
the camera right now. So it's hard to review it because I don't have any reason to use it. but I have it. Anyway. So the rest of it is tiny holes for the charging station. The charging station can hold two controllers and works exactly. If you've ever seen the charging station for the PS4 DualShock, it's exactly the same design. Exactly the same. Slightly larger because the DualSense itself is larger, but basically the same design. It actually charges using the front of the controller, and I believe it's only with the very specific charging station that is possible. Because, I mean, like I said, the controllers are USB-C. You can plug them into USB-C and charge it that way. But if you're using the charging station, it's not a USB-C charging station. It plugs into the front of the controller. It literally uses the headphone jack as part of its connector.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's really interesting how it works. But it does work. I can verify it does work. Plugs into AC power. Is very small. You set two controllers side by side on it, and it has a little hump in the middle where there's like a separation between them, and you set them on either side. And it just slots right in the front, just clicks down, and it's charging. You'll have to trust that it's charging, though, because like one thing I will say is it's not very like stable.
Like, it doesn't
it doesn't lock in, but it is working, and you just have to trust that
like
it is working.
Kind of like a wireless phone charger, where it's just you just kind of have to like, well, okay, it says it's charging.
Yeah, you put it on the thing, so it should be charging, right? Yeah, essentially, you just have to trust it, because when you lift it off, it just lifts right off, doesn't pop out, doesn't snap out, doesn't even make a sound when you lift it up.
Yep.
But it is connecting to those little slots on the controller, so there you go. And that's DualSense, and essentially that's charging station too. So that's it. That's the hardware breakdown of the PS5. I hope you enjoyed the podcast special.
Yeah, no, that's exciting.
Regarding the haptic feedback and such. I'm excited to do. I'm actually going to do. So I'll be writing the things that I just said will still be written down, but I'm going to write them separately. I decided what I'm going to do is write them in an actual review of Astro's Playroom, which I can't release yet anyway, because I can't technically release a review of a game yet for embargoes.
Oh, did you mess around with the what do you call it? Like the removable, you know, like the little tabs,
the side panels. Side panels? Yeah.
Did you mess around with those at all?
Okay. I did not. They actually asked us not to do any like personal teardowns during the review period.
That makes sense.
Just, I think they're just kind of protecting their investment, just to make sure
they don't want people
just,
to accidentally brick their system to somehow or do anything.
Right, like the side panels are meant to be used, they're meant to be removed, and it's meant for the user to have access to them. But I think they just want to be very, very careful now. So they asked us not to do it.
Definitely,
so I haven't done it.
Understandable.
But I can tell you, that I have found the seam where you do it. Like, you know how they said you pull it off from the back corner? I found that. So it seems like it's going to be really easy if I wanted to do it. I really believe it's going to be easy. And now, by the way, we know this is announced publicly. I don't know if it's not. If for some reason, I haven't seen a lot of talk about it, but I saw a couple of YouTubers mention it. There will be, if for those who are interested in this kind of thing, PlayStation 5 faceplates.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yeah.
So apparently the top comes off too.
Oh, you know, people are going to 3D print the crap out of faceplates and do all kinds of like, absolutely. Like Etsy shops are going to pop up around doing PS5 faceplates.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, that's cool though.
That's
like,
awesome.
That harkens back to the Xbox 360 days, but in a good way, because like there wasn't 3D printing back then. So now I think it's going to be bigger now.
There's
going to
be a whole industry around PS5 faceplates, probably. That's crazy. That's cool.
Yeah, they're very well could be, but yeah, bring it on. Okay, so next thing in gaming news today is actually a sad bit of news. Here's the thing. It's a sad bit of news, but then it's also kind of not. Like, I feel like I've thought about this a lot, and I feel like it is the right move, I personally think. So here we go. Destruction All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
One of the honestly few launch titles, first-party launch titles, I should say, for the PS5, is no longer a launch title.
Yeah.
It has been delayed to February 2021.
Oh, hey, the game's not ready. It's not ready, you know.
Well, there's that. And here's what I ultimately concluded about it, too. I think this was the right decision because I don't think Destruction All-Stars was a game that was getting a lot of
attention. I think people were super excited about it, yeah.
Yeah, like, as one of the launch titles, I don't think Destruction All-Stars was getting a lot of attention. I think it was dwarfed so hard by Miles Morales, Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It didn't really have a shot. Really, I mean, is there really, unless you grew up with the PS1, which, I mean, yeah, a lot of us did, but like, does anybody have a whole lot of nostalgia for Destruction Derby games anymore? I don't think they necessarily do.
I think people want to play Demon's Souls more than want to destroy cars. You know, so I think it was the right move, even if it's not just like to make the game better, which it probably is too. But I think it just ultimately, it feels right. I feel
it's
like
also
this is
probably
okay.
To give the other games more breathing room and, you know, let them have their time
and give it more
spot,
breathing
right?
room too. Now it's going to release in February, and BT Dubs, it is actually going to release on PlayStation Plus in February.
I think that's a good move. They're doing
now,
the Game Pass, the move.
Yeah. So now you don't even have to pay for Destruction All-Stars.
Yep.
If you have PlayStation Plus, yep. You can get it for free. And so I think that's a good move for them.
Yeah.
People will buy and are buying, because you can already pre-order them, by the way, even though the PS5 is not officially out yet. You can pre-order Miles Morales. You can pre-order Demon's Souls. All the launch titles you can pre-order already from the PS Store. So people are already buying them, and they will buy them. And Destruction All-Stars will be fine. I've actually seen people that think maybe, because people do see potential in Destruction All-Stars. It's just that it's going to be so dwarfed by the other titles. And I saw someone say, maybe, just maybe, because it's going to be on PS Plus, maybe Destruction All-Stars will be like the next Rocket League, where because it's free, and by the way, they said it's going to be on PlayStation Plus for 2 months.
Wow. That's
it'll be in February
lot,
and March.
That's a
you can
lot
get
of time.
It for free. But people are speculating, or someone's speculating, because of that, maybe a bunch of people will pick it up and love it, and then it becomes like this sensation just because it was free for 2 months, and people had plenty of time to grab it and try it.
That's kind of why, a big reason why Fall Guys was so just a runaway overnight hit, because it was free at first.
The most downloaded PlayStation Plus title of all time is Fall Guys.
Talk about an overnight sensation. Holy crap.
Yeah, man. It's still going, too. It's still going. And now they've got, like, license deals. Like, they're going to release costumes for, like, different characters and everything. It's crazy. It's crazy. But speaking of PlayStation Plus, though, there's even more PlayStation Plus news, everyone. And this one, I think, is great. I don't care what anyone says. I think this is great. Ladies and gentlemen, this just got announced today, by the way. The Game of the Year contender, Bugsnax. Ladies and gentlemen, Bugsnax is going to be the first ever PS5 PlayStation Plus game. It is actually going to be on PlayStation Plus in November when the console launches.
So anyone can play.
Everyone can get
Bugsnax. Can play Bugsnax.
Everyone can play Bugsnax for free.
I'm gonna grab it. I don't even have a PS5 yet.
Right. Do it, man. Do it. But you might as well put it in your library. I completely agree with that. Even if you don't have a PS5 yet, even if you're not gonna have a PS5 for a couple months, put it in your library when it goes up there. Then you can at least try it. And I just, you know, I'm just all in with Bugsnax. I don't care what anyone says. I think it's super cute.
Yeah.
I think it's adorable. And I like it. I don't care. Call me what you will. I like it. I watched the first trailer and I thought it was adorable.
It's hard to do anything with these weenie hands.
I was trying to move that lamp with my weenie hands and then I dropped it and now the whole town's on fire.
Oh man.
I think it's cute. So bring Bugsnax on, and it's free for PlayStation Plus in November. The launch of the console, making sure everyone has two games to play. If you have PS Plus, you now have Astro's Playroom and Bugsnax if you have PS Plus. Not to mention the PS4 collection, the PS Plus collection for PS5 owners.
About that thing.
Yep. 19 free games from the PS4 era, backwards compatible games. Yep, and they are good ones, too. They are not slouches. Like, Days Gone
Resident
is up
Evil
in there.
7.
Yep, Resident Evil 7. That's what it sounds like when you said that. No, it's good, man. It's good. So Bugsnax, look forward to that on PlayStation Plus. Next month. Man. In a couple of weeks, BT Dubs. It's
almost
time.
I can't believe all this stuff's coming out in literally 2 weeks now.
Yeah, it's almost time for it.
2 weeks.
I hope you guys are ready. I hope you guys are ready. No, you're not ready yet.
Yep.
Ready yet. You need more review information for me than you'll be right. All right. So, next thing. Now, this one is sad and a little baffling, I guess. But say, make of it what you will. The very, very popular upcoming game, Cyberpunk 2077, has been delayed again.
Yep.
Now, this brought to light some hard truth about video games that I think people probably need to hear. And I agree with it, and it is just the way it is. Games going gold
doesn't mean what it used to.
Doesn't really mean what it used to. No, it's no longer the same thing. The thing about games today, modern games, is they're always being worked on. They're literally being worked on up until the day of launch. Even The
Last of Us 2, I mean, got.
Yeah, even The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
So going gold is not a guarantee. And we've just learned that because the Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed. It's been given a 21-day delay, so 3 weeks. It is now
coming out on my birthday now. Yay!
Oh, well, there you go. See? That's why they did it.
Even though we most likely won't be able to play it, but, you know.
No, I mean, likely not, but still, I'm hyped for it. This is a game I don't expect to play, but I absolutely want to listen to this game. It is, I don't know if you listen to, the trailers are epic. Every single trailer is just amazing. It boggles the mind they're going to pack all this stuff into a game, but clearly they are trying to do it. So the stated reason for the delay of Cyberpunk 2077 was that, I feel like this is probably true. I mean, you never know, but I feel like it's probably true. So basically what they're saying is, in the time of COVID, when everyone's working from home, it is shockingly difficult to evaluate a game that is coming out on nine different platforms.
Oh my God.
Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be released for PS4, Xbox One X, and Xbox One S. That's three that counts. That's three platforms there. They have to optimize for each one of those things. Then you have Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, PlayStation 5, and Stadia. And I think they're even counting PS4 Pro because you have to optimize it separately for PS4 Pro as a separate platform too. Yeah, and Stadia. I could see how that's tough to do when you're working from home.
Yeah.
I could see that. I could see that. So I'm inclined to believe this is true. Now, the weird thing about this news story, though, is that the actual developers themselves, the people like on the ground making the game, the programmers, apparently didn't know about this new delay until the last minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it wasn't prompted by them. It was prompted by, like, the big head honchos who decided that it needed to be
interesting.
Delayed.
That part I didn't know. I just saw the announcement yesterday.
Yeah, they didn't. It was they were blindsided by this new delay. They apparently... Jeez. Yeah, so there you go. That felt a little weird about it. I don't know why. You know, I heard Alana Pierce talking about this, and she was like, you know, well, these companies have shareholders to adhere, you know. So it had to go through them, too. Like, the shareholders want to know when they're going to get a return on their investment. You know, when is all the money they invested going to be returned via people
buying games? Keep in mind, guys, I didn't realize this, I forgot until I saw something this morning. This game has been in development for 8 years. 2012. What?
2012.
What the heck?
But I mean, it shows too. Like, even though like we're getting delays now, it still shows that this game is going to be something massive. Like, there's so much in this game. It's amazing. It's amazing. I question the previous. I guess. Well, I mean, it's still current gen now, but in 2 weeks, it's going to be the previous gen. I question how that's going to be able to pull it off.
Especially the original hardware. PS4.
Yeah, like the PS4 original. The original Xbox One.
The VCR.
How is that going to work? That's probably going to be awful. I don't know.
That, going well at all.
They're going to do the best they can. I know they will, but
that's probably where a lot of this delay comes from, is like making sure
trying to make it work,
it's not a well enough show on the VCR and the
right. Oh. the game had to be shipped in black and white for the original PS4 because all the memory was taken up by all the people being rendered in real time and the living world and the ads that are going to be on screens as you walk by them that are specific to your character.
Five frames a second.
You're welcome. No, enjoy. And by the way, there is a next gen upgrade. You should probably get a PS5.
No, it's only 3 weeks. And
it is.
Once again, it's probably fine because that just lets the other games that are coming out around that time period, that lets them have their time in the spotlight a little longer.
Yeah,
it sucks that this game that you've been looking forward to isn't coming out when you thought, which actually it really does suck for some people because I guess some people actually went to take days off work and stuff.
Yep, I saw that too.
For those people, but you know, and it'll be fine. Super Smash Brothers ultimately Brawl it'll be fine. Got delayed like a couple times too, and everybody was complaining about that.
The last was too bad delayed.
It did. Not to the same level that this game.
No, not
this game got delayed three separate times. I'm pretty sure. I think this is a time number delay number three.
Yeah, this is three.
Because originally it was what, March of this year that was supposed to come out.
I think it was supposed to come out last year originally. Yeah, I'm pretty sure last year was the original idea. Yeah.
So, there. I mean,
yeah,
it'll be fine. The game will be great.
It'll be fine. The game's going to sell perfectly well. I'm sure it will. I mean, the hype is so high,
right?
And they've given us so much with all the trailers and stuff like that, that people know what to expect. They know to expect awesome in this game. And I think CD Projekt Red is trying to deliver on that awesomeness with every platform, just to be safe as they can.
Right now, people just have this like, oh no, like this game feels cursed. Like it's like a mini version of Duke Nukem Forever, the way that was cursed for years.
Yeah, I saw headlines that were like the Cyberpunk Death March continues. I didn't even read the article. I was like, no, come on, it's dumb. It'll be fine.
The game's coming out.
It's good. Yeah, it's coming out just 3 weeks later. Calm down.
It's 3 weeks, not eight. No, it's not another 8 month delay. If it was another 8 month delay, I'd be like, oh, that's not good.
That wouldn't look very good.
But it's
3 weeks. If there was an 8 month delay, no, even better. If there was an 8 month delay after the game had gone gold.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
That would look like, terrible.
What are you guys doing? You guys are a bunch of amateurs over here. But
yeah.
It's CD Projekt Red. Like, they consistently put out quality games.
Yeah, I mean, all I really need to say to anyone that's like, oh, this game's going to suck. Yeah, okay, Witcher look at The Witcher 3.
Is this like a masterpiece?
Does that game suck? No. Is it one of the greatest RPGs of all time? Many people say, yes, it is.
I still need to watch a playthrough of that. I really do.
200 hours. 200 to 300 hours in that game. I can't believe that. It's nonsense.
I can't wait until we can play a 200 to 300 hour game.
I know. I want one.
I guess Hades is kind of that, but like not like to that level where it's just like an open world, like crazy deep experience.
Yeah, yeah. Also 5 victories now.
5? Ooh, nice.
Got one this morning. I got a pre-podcast victory in Hades.
You're at 3 the other day.
I know. I got one yesterday, too.
Oh, my God, dude. You're on
fire. I'm killing it now, man. I'm killing it. It feels good. It feels good to be at this point. Like, I haven't... The craziest thing is my what little lava strats I have are working well enough that I don't necessarily need sure-footing anymore. Like... Hear the door, dash towards the door, because dashing, while you're moving, you're still immune, you're technically immune to lava while you're moving.
Yeah.
In a dash.
Yep.
Strictly in a dash. So sometimes that works, and it works well enough. So.
There you go.
Yeah. Alrighty then. let's not talk about Hades anymore, because if we keep going, I will not stop. Okay.
I deliberately not, like, sometimes I just deliberately not play Hades for long periods of time, because I know when I launch the game, I'm going to spend, like, 5 straight hours on it, at least.
Yep, because it just has that effect on you.
But anyway.
Yeah, so that's actually all the things that I had for the gaming news segment of the show. Sherlock, do you have anything else to add? Or
it's a tiny thing, but Nintendo randomly dropped the demo of Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity today.
Oh!
And it's a big, beefy demo that's like the first whole friggin' chapter of the game, apparently, so... And you can save your progress for the full game when that comes out.
Oh, that's really cool. A lot of demos
more demos doing it lately, which is good. But
okay, that's good. That's good. There's some cases like with Resident Evil 7 was a good example of this, where the demo is like a demo of mechanics, but it's not even a part of the main game.
Oh yeah, kind of like what Stanley Parable, is the demo for that was kind of its own thing.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I bet that's hilarious. I've only heard the main game. I bet the demo's funny, too. I love that game, even though I can't play it a little bit. I love that game. It's a classic. But that's cool.
It's not going to be playable, unfortunately, just because it's Zelda Hyrule Warriors, so there's going to be light puzzles and things like that. So,
wait, there's puzzles now?
I mean, Hyrule Warriors had some stuff like where you had to shoot certain things with the bow to progress and things like that. So,
I guess Misty just did those then, because me and Misty were actually playing Hyrule Warriors, the original one, co-op, and I guess she must have just done that.
Yeah, there's lots of little things like that.
Like, oh, okay.
So,
okay. I guess so. I was just the kill everything tank, and she probably
and some of the bosses you have to shoot in their weak points and things like that. So,
oh, yep. Okay. Well, that explains.
That. I mean, as a second player, you can just sit back and just kill stuff. And
yeah. That's so. Now I know what Misty's often doing while I'm just playing SmackDown on things. She's doing what we're supposed to do for the missions.
No, those but games. I was streaming Samurai Warriors 4, which is a game that we can play. I love that game.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. I've not played that game, anything about it. I probably should. Speaking of the Switch, though, that brought to mind something that I did not write down in the outline because I just saw it today. Because apparently, this also just happened today. This was a thing that Nintendo talked about doing quite a while back, and now it has finally begun.
Oh, yeah.
Games, yes. So the first game that cannot natively run on the Switch is now available on Switch, and it is Remedy's Control. And you can play it on the Switch, but you have to stream it from the cloud. It is a cloud game on the Switch.
What a neat idea.
It is an interesting approach. It's an interesting approach because I don't know. Like I have mixed opinions on it because I like it on the one hand, because it's cool that Nintendo's still bringing games to Switch, if the Switch itself can't even handle the game.
People might use it as a cop out though too. Like I could see that going that route eventually.
Because it would perform better than just cloud. That's
taking the effort to port it. Let's just do the cloud and.
Yep. It'll perform better in the cloud anyway, so you might as well just do that. You could be right. Could be right.
I can see that going in a very not so nice way, and just like, oh boy.
But one thing too that I kind of don't like about it is it kind of locks you down.
You have to be online
because you have to be if you're gonna. You have to be online. You have to be you'd have to be in a decent connection. It can't just be a
no hotel Wi-Fi
standard connection. It's got to be a good connection. Well, I don't know some
I
hotels.
Mean, well, no cheap some hotels. Hotel Wi-Fi for you.
Right, yeah, that's probably about right. I've had good luck with some hotels, but others not so much. But yeah, so you have to be on a decent connection to even play this thing, which And I don't know how it, like, I assume you have to buy it still.
Yeah.
So you're buying it on Switch, but you have to play it from the cloud. I don't know.
You know what?
I don't know. I like it. I like it because I like cloud gaming, but I also
I think it's the first here. But in Japan last year, they did that with Resident Evil 7.
Oh, that's right. You're right. They did.
That this has happened, but
yes, I think you're right. Yes, I do remember the Resident Evil 7 thing. Yeah, so in Japan you can play that.
And I heard it wasn't that good. I heard the performance was kind of lacking. But this was last year, so I mean, things could have improved since then.
It's possible. Yeah, it's very possible. All right, well, I think that does it for gaming news.
Gaming news.
Which is, by the way, 68 minutes long. Nice. Thanks to the hardware breakdown of PS9. But I hope you guys enjoyed that.
I'm excited about the DualSense bits now.
Yeah, man. I would be too if I were you. It's exciting. It is absolutely exciting. I can't wait to share more about it that I can't talk about yet. All right. But for now, let's move on to
accessibility news.
The time is nigh for accessibility news. Okay.
I'll drink to that.
There you go. That's how you commemorate some good accessibility news. So this accessibility news is the only thing I could come up with for the week, but it happened just this morning, so I figured it's relevant. We have some blind/low vision impressions of Watch Dogs Legion today. They are not my impressions.
Yeah.
They are the impressions of Victor Andre, I believe his name is, from Accessibility Nexus. He did some impressions with the game. I did get into the review program for the game.
Sightless also put out his thing too.
I didn't see his, but that's cool. I'm glad he did too. The ones I saw were his, so I just thought I'd put those in.
I'll just blow this out right now. It's pretty not playable in the slightest.
Right.
In the slightest. Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that. So Andre, Victor Andre from Accessibility Nexus is low vision.
Yep.
So he had more success with than we would.
Yeah, he liked it. His impressions were pretty favorable.
Yeah, he had a good time. He pointed out that navigation is easier than it's ever been for him in an open world game, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's good.
But some of that is down to the stuff that is neat, like auto drive and stuff like that. That's neat. Don't get me wrong, like that's super cool. But some of it is down to the fact that the icons are, at least for the main missions, are like very noticeable and very easy to get to and very easy to set waypoints to.
And the contrast is good. And
contrast is good on the map and everything. Now, he did point out that icons for like every side thing are sadly not great.
Yeah.
Apparently, he couldn't see them until someone pointed them out because they're super small.
that's a shame. But
that seems weird, but there you go.
But this just kind of reiterates our point that like Ubisoft is making steady forward progress.
Yeah, absolutely. This is 100% another point in their favor towards progress of accessibility.
Yep.
Keep in mind, this game is coming out. I know it's not long before, but still, it is before Valhalla.
Yep, it comes out officially tomorrow.
Yeah, officially it comes out tomorrow, and Valhalla comes out in on November 10th.
November 10th. Yep.
But Valhalla is seemingly further along with accessibility than Watch Dogs Legion is. So even a couple week separation.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like
this is why I'm confident, especially in their next batch of games, because I think out of at least one or two of those, whatever they end up being, we're going to have something that we can play in there.
I think so. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
I'm pretty confident.
Because really, they seem to get it to a really good degree.
Yeah, and the thing that makes me hopeful too is they really are starting to get narration.
They've really figured it out.
What? Because when you're picking your crew, people you want to recruit on your crew, it narrates everything, apparently. Like, it narrates all the stats, what they're good at. Like, it tells you everything.
Yep, and in proper and order, mission, according to...
And mission objectives and stuff, too, it'll tell you.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and all that in like, in sensible order, according to Mr. Andre, the stats are read very sensibly. And so a lot of things, even in Watch Dogs Legion, are narrated. A lot of gameplay elements. There's only really a couple things that he mentioned that weren't narrated. The weapon wheel isn't. And strangely enough, a prompt to press a button to move forward in time to when you're supposed to meet someone was not narrated.
That seems a little silly. That would be. It seems like more of probably an oversight than anything else. Didn't realize, like, oh.
And a lot of these things, you know, may have been, you know, being worked on very last minute, because you got to realize Watch Dogs Legion has also been in development for multiple years. Whereas Ubisoft has only
4+ years now, I think.
Probably 4+ years. So, and Ubisoft has only just recently, you know, in relative terms, gotten locked in on accessibility.
They as far as I know, they really haven't been building their stuff with accessibility in mind from the ground up yet.
No. Definitely not yet.
I think all of this stuff that we're saying now is basically like mid development stuff, which is pretty impressive for what they've been able to do with it. So this is why I'm super confident for their next batch of games, because now they have this mindset and now they can look and get people like you and Victor and from the beginning, just like Naughty Dog did with you and everybody else with The Last of Us 2. So in a few years, we're going to see some good games that
Ubisoft,
we can play.
I fully believe Ubisoft is going to give us that open world experience. I fully believe they will. Yeah. It's going to be them. Like,
the next Assassin's Creed game, I feel like it's going to be fully playable.
Yeah, I feel like it's, but I feel what I'm saying, I'm giving Ubisoft the nod. I think it's going to be specifically Ubisoft.
Yeah.
That gives us that open world experience.
Because they, in particular, they...
Dude, like, Valhalla?
They're the second game, or the second game company, apart from Naughty Dog, that has really started to understand what accessibility actually means and thinking accessibly. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and based on my... Based on what I experienced without some of the accessibility features in the demo that I played, Valhalla is so close.
Yeah.
It's so close. It's right on the cusp of it. And I would bet based on, it's so funny that different Ubisoft games have led me to think things about other Ubisoft games. So like I talked about in my more recent coverage of Immortals Fenyx Rising, I said the fact that Immortals Fenyx Rising's map is narrated tells me that Valhalla's probably is too. I'm not saying it's gonna be fully playable, but I like it's so close.
Yeah,
they really have the right idea, man. They're really getting it.
Well, that's why I keep saying, you know, their next batch is we're gonna have at least one or two fully playable things in there, because they're so freaking close with what they've been doing now.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Just iteration after iteration.
They understand the need for narration. I really honestly think that you're probably right about the, you know, like a lot of this stuff being mid-development stuff. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is, because like you said, you know, in relative terms, accessibility hasn't been in the forefront of their minds for a whole lot of time.
Right.
Just kind of more recently. So the reason the stuff that isn't narrated in these games is probably literally because it's, at this point, probably even impossible to build into the current systems that they've already created.
Yeah. They can do it for certain things, but not baked in at a full game level yet.
Right. But they'll definitely get there. Because the thing is, every time they do this, they also acknowledge it. Like, they tell you in the list of accessibility things, they literally say in their summaries of accessibility features, they'll tell you the HUD's not narrated. They know.
Yeah, I'm glad they're so transparent like that. That's really helpful.
Yeah, they're actually making waves, honestly, because they're also releasing their accessibility information way earlier than the game.
Which, good.
Yeah.
Good. More company, please do this. Because
people like Ian Hamilton are very quick to point out when they dropped their Immortals Fenyx Rising accessibility summary of the whole list of accessibility features that'll be in the final game. Ian was like, look, everyone.
Yeah.
They're releasing this 2 months before the game comes out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it sells. I mean, having that page from The Last of Us 2, when that came out a month before the game came out, that single-handedly sold tons of copies of the game and actual consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah. To my people.
It absolutely sold consoles. It is, in fact, The Last of Us 2 is literally the reason I have a buyer for my PS4.
Because they want to play Last of Us 2.
That is literally the reason.
That's good.
Thanks, Last of Us 2, for making it easier for me to afford a PS5.
Exactly.
Appreciate that. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, Ubisoft, man, props to you guys. Like, it's so crazy that how different perspectives can be when we're given this much information and we're given people like myself and others are given opportunities to review these things. How different is our perspective? If this had been Gears, if Watch Dogs Legion had been handled the way Gears was handled, where if Ubisoft was like, look, this is the most accessible thing ever. Ha ha ha. Prepare yourself.
Yeah, we would have raked them. We'd be raking them over the coals right now.
We'd be super mad at them.
The way we were angry and upset about in Misty especially.
Yeah, Misty especially. But
so upset about
because
Gears.
Because they're handling it differently, we can acknowledge that Watch Dogs Legion is basically not playable by the blind, but we can still look at what is there and see how it is an improvement.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's good on you, Ubisoft. You're doing it right. Yep. You're doing it right, dang it.
Which is hilarious. Again, like, seeing all these mainstream places, you know, talking about how Ubisoft is, oh, they're a terrible company. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, us in the disabled gaming community are like,
we're like,
Ubisoft is great.
We would tend to disagree with you on that.
Yeah.
And here are 1,000 reasons why.
Yep.
So yeah, man, they're on their way, and we're gonna get. We're gonna get that open world giant monster game, and it's gonna be from them. Yep. It may not even be Assassin's Creed. Who knows? They have every franchise of theirs is open world. It seems like.
I'm looking forward to two things. I'm looking forward to like that open world kind of experience. And I'm also looking forward to like the Destiny 2 style service game type thing. I can really just sink my teeth into and play with a group of friends like Misty and whoever. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And be like Misty where like, I want to get that raid ring or whatever, like, or whatever it is, you know, like
to always have a goal to strive for.
I'm gonna get the thing. Yeah, like, I'm gonna work to tonight and for 3 hours and get
right
close to that thing.
And,
you know?
And to wanna be like, hey crew, let's get together and do this raid together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I want that.
I can't wait for that.
I believe it'll happen. It'll happen. I believe it.
Yep.
Oh man. So Ubisoft's making the news of accessibility with Watch Dogs Legion.
Now I'm just super excited for Valhalla to see what that has.
Right. I legitimately, so I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I have a couple days to think about it, but I don't know if it's worth streaming Watch Dogs Legion.
I don't think I would.
Like I have the other games, because when I did it before, I did it during the pre-embargo stream. You have access to stream it, period.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but I'm already past that now because
I feel like it's, we already kind of know, so it's
I think the impressions out there are probably enough that we just know.
Now I would do
I will do Valhalla.
I would be interested to see Valhalla.
I will absolutely do Valhalla. I'm not behind on that one. I've already in fact been contacted about Valhalla, so we're good for Valhalla.
Cool.
Good. Watch Dogs just didn't pan out the way I would have liked, so.
I mean, that's all right.
But it is what it is. It's still gonna be a good week of stuff. We're probably gonna do, let's see. We're gonna do the Netflix party on Friday, and then we'll probably do I don't know, probably Hades on Saturday, or maybe Mortal Kombat. I don't know. I don't know. I'll probably ask Twitter around then what they want to see. More Hades or maybe some fighting games.
I'm up for more Hades personally.
I'm up for more Hades too. I'm always up for more Hades. What am I kidding? But really, that's all I have for accessibility news. That really was a last minute thing. Like, I saw this impression, like, okay, let's include this. Because then we can talk about Ubisoft and their progress on accessibility. And that was still, I think that was a good, worthy topic.
Yeah.
But that's all I have. Storlock, do you have anything else to add to accessibility news?
No.
Cool. All right. I mean, not cool as in, you understand. So let's do a little outro and get out of here for the week. This has been episode Nintendo 64 of the Breakdown Walls podcast, which had nothing to do with Nintendo 64 in any way, shape, or form.
Did not.
It didn't. No. Did it?
No, I was agreeing with you. It did not.
Oh, I thought you said. Oh, that's so weird. I thought you said, didn't it? Like you were like questioning it. Like, are you sure it didn't have anything to do with the N64? No. Suddenly, I'm not sure. Maybe it did. Maybe it was all about the N64, and I didn't know it. I was just reviewing an N64 controller, not the DualSense. Crap.
Poor controller.
Oh, God. Jeez. It wasn't haptic feedback. It was a rumble pack. The controller.
They stick the back controller and have freaking AAA batteries in it.
Man. Rumble packs, bro.
Days.
Remember how they broke some games? Like, some games didn't support rumble packs to the degree that you had to remove your rumble pack for the game to run.
Killer Instinct Gold was that way.
Yeah, that's right. That was messed up. that's
messed up. Like, it would get confused because, like, it was like, what is this thing? Because I think that game predated the Rumble Pack.
Yeah, I think it was a launch title, wasn't it? I could be wrong, though. I could absolutely be wrong about that.
Launch title was pretty close. It came out the same.
Launch window, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember some games just would not allow you to have a Rumble Pack.
It was the only controller accessory at the time. So anything else was just like, what?
Yep.
What is it? This isn't a memory card.
Yep, and it would just stall until you pulled it out.
And you pulled it out, it worked fine, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was interesting to me, where that fact, where, like, as long as the ROM pack was in there, it wouldn't work, but as soon as you took that ROM pack out, it would load. Like,
yep, no problem at all. Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway, tangent, during the outro, this is normal. You guys should use this by now. It is. Anyway... hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. I hope you enjoyed, especially because it was exclusive to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the DualSense preview that I provided. And no, once again, I'll say it one more time in this outro. Know that once again, the next embargo is the one that you want.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say right now, because it's all I can say right now. But just know that is the one that you are waiting for.
Nice.
So we'll have a lot to talk about next embargo.
Looking forward to it.
Indeed. So, that's going to do it for this show. Thanks, guys, for listening. We enjoy putting on the show for you every week. Feel free to let us know how you liked it. Comment, message us on Twitter. Go to breakdownwalls.net if you'd like to learn more about the Breakdown Walls crew and the Breakdown Walls movement itself. And join us on Discord if you'd like to do that as well. Listen to the podcast directly from the main page if you'd like to do that. It's all up to you, my friends. It's all up to you. For now, this has been episode 64 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. I'm Brandon Cole. I think he's Sturlock. Although he could have switched into another alien form while I wasn't looking. Because I'm never looking.
Because there's no squirrel.
Yep, that's right. and we will see you next week.